That word sanctifies right there means set apart. Say ye of him whom the Father. Who did the Father send into the world? The Logos. The Logos. Yes, and the Logos. Deal with that. That's where it's all at tonight, my friend. If the Bible said, falsely of him, the Logos, you'd be right. But you're wrong. Your doctrine is wrong. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God. I want you to notice that the Father set the Son apart and sent him into the world. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified or set apart. And that the one who was set apart was the Logos, the Word. And the Word was made flesh, the Bible said. And he said, you say that I blaspheme? This man says, I'm blaspheming because I claim him to be set apart from God the Father. He says, I'm not preaching the truth because of that. But the Bible said that Jesus asked the question, say ye of him whom the Father, he's speaking of Christ himself, sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. The Father set the Son apart and sent him into the world. The Son is Jesus, and the Father sent Jesus into the world. And Jesus pre-existed with the Father. Philippians 2 and 6, who pre-existed, Jesus did in the form of God. He was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be of the same essence of God, and he took upon himself human nature, and he came into this world and became a man in time. But he was with God from all eternity. John number 14. Jehovah God, 1 Timothy 2, 5, there is one God, one mediator. God is the one that Jesus Christ mediates for mankind too. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, one who intervenes between two is a mediator. Hebrews 8 and 1 said that Jesus is set at the right hand of the majesty. You look that up in the Greek and see if that isn't the exceeding deity himself. Then in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation by our sins, and not by our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is not the same person as the Father, and Marvin Hicks knows that. He knows Jesus is not the same person as the Father. In fact, he admitted that the Father was in Jesus and denied my proposition. He said that Jesus, he said he could just go ahead and say it, that Jesus was speaking from heaven and saying that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he said the Father who was speaking in heaven was in Jesus on earth. And that made him the same. Now the Bible said, Paul said, Christ dwelleth in me. And that didn't make Paul Christ. That didn't make him Christ at all. Now the Gnostics argued that the flesh was the mediator. That the historical Jesus and the Christ of God were separate and distinct. This was in both 1st and 2nd centuries. And John's Gospel and John's first epistle and 2nd Colossians were written to do away with that. They believed that Jesus Christ came forth sometime in time and he was not always with God. Now then, give us the next chart. John 8 and 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, he would love me. Now I'm giving you the Bible. I want Brother Hicks to do that. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Now listen, friend, you said before you came up here a while ago that I hadn't given you any scripture. Let's get down to business now. That's what I am giving you, my brother. You talk about somebody who's got the sword of the Lord and tearing a false doctrine apart. This good Bible will tear the Jesus on the doctrine into shreds. There isn't a shred of evidence in all of this Bible that there is only one person in the Godhead. Now then, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I challenge you to deal with that passage of Scripture. Jesus proceeded forth from eternity and came forth in time. I challenge you, Brother Hicks, to deal with the fact that God sent Jesus assigned the Son of power and sent Him into this world. I challenge you to show me that Jesus did not proceed forth and come from God. And did He ask me a question a moment ago to show some way that this Son that was born was always or was from eternity? I thought I heard you ask me that question. Was there some identity, some way I could identify that this Jesus had come forth from eternity? I can do that. This governor who was to be the governor of God's people, according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, he is from everlasting. And eternity is just as far one direction as it is the other. In fact, in eternity, there is no yesterday and no tomorrow. It's an ever-present today before Almighty God. God doesn't have to mark time like we do. God doesn't have to do it that way. Theos in homologus, Brother Hicks. I want you to deal with theos in homologus, Brother Hicks. The preposition cross means standing in immediate and equal proximity to, Brother Hicks. I want you to face that. Listen now real good so you'll understand that I've given you the Bible when you come back up here. Now let's go to John 1 and 1. He hasn't answered that. In fact, the business, I want to hear him answer. I understood, I was told by the UPC preachers in my area that he was one of the great Bible scholars in the church. I didn't hear him using much scripture when he was up here. I didn't hear him getting into the Bible. I didn't see him really getting down to an exegesis of a text, lifting it up and showing it to us. I want you to deal with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And John 1 and 14, and the Word became flesh. Put the text up there, number 17. Number 17. Now then, I want you to clap. I want to know this question. Which of these two, the Word or the flesh, or God became flesh? Which of these two? The Word was with God. Now this man can't do it if he turns something off to his own in the moon. He can't do away with the fact that the Word wrote was with God, was standing in proximity to God. He cannot. Pardon me.
I just called the
Lord. Thank you, sir. That was a very gentlemanly thing to do. As God's servant, I'm contending for the faith. What's delivered to the saints, and I'm debating, Martin. If any of the other preachers want to debate, we'll get propositions together. I'll be delighted to do it. Which of these two, the Word and God, became flesh? Now, that is the question I want Brother Hicks to answer. Which of these two, the Word or God, in the John 1 and 1, which of these two became flesh? The Bible says the Word became flesh. What do you say? If so, then who is the God mentioned in verse 1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now you deal with Theos and Homologus. He knows that passage of Scripture is in the Greek text. Right here is a PhD in the Greek New Testament. He has a Greek New Testament here. I can read that passage, he can read that passage. If Martin Hicks is a scholar in the Bible, he knows that the Greek text does not say, oh, theos and homologus, which will validate your position, and I come from your church. But it says, theos and homologus, which means the divinity or God is the Word. Now, this is what the Bible says. Now, you can do all kinds of religious monkey shots. You can turn all kinds of theological dinos. I'll tell you what E.J. Reynolds is doing tonight. I am being absolutely theologically honest with you. I am being absolutely textually dogmatic with you. I am bringing the point in focus that there are three distinctions of God. My opponent admitted by signing the affirmation there were not distinctions in God, and yet said tonight that he believed there were distinctions in God. But his distinction is Sabellian modalism.
Have you ever studied Sabellianism? Sabellianism was the doctrine that came into being in the second century. This Jesus only doctrine wasn't in the Bible, my friend, until it was put there by the Sabellians and by Arius. It wasn't in the book of God. Sabellians taught three modes of God. Sabellius taught that God, as one actor, was Father. In the next actor, he was Son. And in the next act, he was Holy Spirit. And the Bible doesn't teach anything. You can't go into the Bible. You can't go into the Bible and show us that Jesus Christ is the Father of the Creator of this universe. You can't show us that the Holy Ghost, now listen, you can't show us that the Holy Ghost is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to do that. I'd like you to show us that the Holy Ghost is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to show us that he had some kind of relationship with Mary that made him the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels, when they came that night on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth peace and goodwill toward men, for unto you this day in the city of David has born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus Christ was Lord, but he was born and was laid in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea. And he was the Son of God, and the Father, and the whole, and Jesus Christ sent the Holy Ghost into this world. All right, let's take a little proof testing into God's everlasting Word. Let's take a little bit of a look at what the Bible says. Listen carefully now. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," verse 26 of chapter 14, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." Now then, Jesus said in John chapter 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." That's verse 1. Verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And then in verse 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love." How about that? Now listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 23. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing." Well, who shall ye ask? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you." Now, if the Father and the Son is the same, why is it that you're about to ask Jesus his name? Answer that when you come back up here. Now then, in the Bible, chapter 21, chapter 20, verse 17, and you didn't even touch this a minute ago. In fact, you didn't get close to it. You're as scared of it as a rattlesnake. Jesus says unto her in John 20 and 17, Jesus says unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." Jesus was the resurrected Lord. Thomas called him my Lord and my God. And yet Jesus said, "I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Now then said Jesus unto them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, "He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life." This is in heaven, my friends. You want to know where the Son is in heaven? You want to know where the Lion of the tribe of Judah is in heaven? Are you going to be as sacrilegious as one UPC preacher I debated one time and say something about heaven being a sheep pen because the Lamb was standing there and the seven spirits of God, a symbol of completion was upon him? Or will you admit that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were present in Revelation chapter 5? But let's go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. who gave to Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, who had ascended into heaven, the revelation, he said God had given it to him. Then he said in Revelation 3:5, the resurrected Savior said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before myself and before his angels. No, before my Father and before his angels. Now then, let's go further in the good book of God and read a little bit further. Who do you say that Lamb was standing there after the rapture of the church? One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. What is that? Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now you make fun of that completed form of the seven spirits of God symbolizing the Holy Ghost. You laughed about that a few minutes ago. You said maybe I'll come up here and have seven, eight, or ten spirits of God. I didn't do it. The Holy Spirit told John the Revelator to put it there. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Who did that? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who did the Bible say the Lion of the tribe of Judah was? None other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then I want you to notice this. The Bible said in Revelations, in the book of Revelations, in the 7th chapter and the 9th verse, after this I beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, tongues, kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with robes and palms in their hands. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And Revelations 10:6, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now Revelations 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Jesus and of his Jesus. No, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 and 23. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Kaya, the Lamb, the blessed Lamb, are the light thereof. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and no need of the candle, and neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. 1 Corinthians 3:23, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. Did you say time or hallelujah? All right. In St. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Theos in Thorgus, brotherhood. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Amen. And in Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's one of the great texts of the Bible, isn't it? Let's go on with the Word of God. This blessed Bible that we believe in, that we trust as the Word of God, verbally inspired, has mighty truth. with its blessed pages. I've been giving you that blessed book. Most of these scriptures I can quote verbatim. I'm not doing that. We'll be careful to try to put all the scriptures in here and get every word. I may miss one, but he can correct me and put it in the context, and the sense of scripture is scripture. Then the Bible said, here's a scripture you dared me to touch, Revelation 1 and 8. I am Alpha and Omega. You know that Alpha is the first letter of the Greek language, and you know that Omega is the last. Did Jesus Christ have a beginning, and does he have an end? Did you pass it out when you come back up here? I walked over there too. You were very busy. I don't blame you. I've stuck my head down. Got busy too. Because this blessed Jesus was before all things. Now he came forth in time. He came forth in time. He came from eternity and came forth in time. And someday he will leave what is now known as time and become subject unto him. The God may be over and all. God, all the hand clapping in the world can't stop this blessed book. Here's my Bible. You holding my time? I would sincerely trust that none of these men would take a dig. It's above and beyond all point religion. Brother Hicks and I may take pot shots at each other and really fire away because we believe what he believes, what he believes, and I believe what I believe. Although I think he's confused on much of what he believes, and he thinks the same about me. But we're in a debate, and any questions to be answered, he and I can take care of that. I can take care of him, and he can take care of me. That's the way it works. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now the point before we were disturbed was that I stated that Jesus was before all things, that the totality of God was before all things. That there is actually no beginning. Now here it is, Hebrews 12 and 2. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the father of our system of religion. He is the father of the economy of redemption. But not one time in the New Testament does the Bible state the Holy Ghost is the father.